you have to look at yourself in the mirror and really ask yourself this question. It's like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because it's lots of sacrifice, you know, lots of dedication.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators, where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so over on Instagram. I'm at Mike Bone. And you can view some of my work on my website, which is mikebrennan.me. I'd also love to extend an invitation to you to join our free Facebook group called Daily Creative Habit, where you can join creatives of all sorts of expressions who desire to show up more consistently for the creativity and craft. So if that's you, come on over to Facebook, go to dailycreativehabit.com. It'll bring you right to the Facebook page and you can request to be a part of that group. I'd also like to take the opportunity to let you know about a few events that are coming up that I'm a part of. The first one is a virtual summit. It's called Monetize Your Genius Virtual Summit. And it is going to be an amazing summit, specifically if you are in the category of content creators, right? You may be a course creator or a speaker, coach. You have any of those kind of things going on in your world. I would suggest that you really pay attention to this. But it is also a free event. So even if you're not doing some of those things, maybe you're thinking about doing those in this new year or in the near future, I would suggest that you sign up for this event. It is, it's going to be an amazing time. It's Wednesday, January 27th through Tuesday, February 2nd. And it is going to be, again, just so much great information. People are going to be sharing incredible strategies and information around copywriting, list building, storytelling, marketing funnels, video production. You name it. I'm going to be on there sharing a little bit more of my story and my experiences around creating a daily habit. And it's going to be, a really amazing time where you can get a really valuable information for free and also make some new connections, right? You've heard me talk about a lot of times when I introduce some guests on my podcast that how I've met them at past events. Well, obviously, this is not a live event. We don't have the ability to do that right now. But virtual events are another great way to make some new connections. And you just never know what may come. So again, that's Monetize Your Genius Summit. And I will put the information for this event and the link so you can sign up for free in the show notes. Now, for today's episode, I get to share with you an amazing guest who was brought to my attention when I actually saw him on a local news channel. I'm in the New York City area, actually over in New Jersey, but I saw this interview with him and I immediately grabbed a pen and some paper and wrote down his name and said, I gotta figure out who this guy is and follow up with his story. My guest today is an amazing painter and visual artist, Guy Stanley Feloche, and he is, he's blown up. He's all over the place. I saw him on CNN and Good Morning America. He's been in Vanity Fair. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And the reason why I was so drawn to him was not just his incredible work, which I highly, you know, encourage you to go and check out his website and take a look at his work, because it's some amazing, amazing stuff. But also, the thing that really was brought to my attention was that he was doing something very different in this time of COVID. And we talk a little bit about that in our conversation today. But really, it was his ability to step into this time in such a way where he said, whenever I sell a painting, I'm going to go ahead and buy a painting from another visual artist that I know. He wanted to give back to the arts community that he's a part of. And that really struck me. I was like, I love the heart behind that. This heart to be generous, to give, to be a part of a community, and to help build that community, not set up a sense of competition with limited resources and everybody fighting for the same opportunities, but rather he was saying, every time I experience a win, I want to pass that along to somebody else. And I just absolutely love that. So I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. We talk about that. We talk about some specifics in his work. And we talk about, you know, the struggle and the, honestly, the sacrifice. We talk a lot about that, the sacrifice that is needed to be able to keep going in this type of career. Being an artist is not an easy road. And there are plenty of times where you just have to grind things out, or you have to keep hustling and figure out how to get yourself in the right rooms, in front of the right people. And so we talk about all that stuff, and, you know, we joke. He says a lot of people think he's this overnight success, but really it's been like 15, 20 years of him just constantly showing up, doing the work, looking for opportunities, and rinse and repeat, you know? So if you're a visual artist, I know you're going to totally dig this conversation I have with Guy. Even if you're not a visual artist, I believe that there are things that he shares in this episode that will be really valuable to you and to the things that you're experiencing in your creativity. I also want to give a shout out to Brianna, who is Guy's publicist, for helping us set this up. I know that you, again, are going to really enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my creative chat with Guy Stanley Feloce. Welcome to the Creative Chat Show, Guy. I'm excited to have you here today.
Mike, thanks so much for having me on your show, bro. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You know, I love when I get to speak with fellow visual artists. And your story in particular jumped out at me because you just, your heart to serve other people and to just be a giver is something that was very attractive to me. And I was like, I need to get with this guy and just talk with him and get to know his story a little bit more. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
So for our listeners, why don't you just give us like the little elevator pitch, bird's eye view of who you are, what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Guy Stanley Feloce. I'm an artist that that lives in New York City. My parents immigrated from Haiti. My dad came here first. Then once he got established, he sent for my brothers and my mom and I. Grew up in Connecticut. After I got done with school, I moved to New York 20 years ago. And ever since then, I just basically was like a racehorse with blinders, just kept my eyes focused on the prize, stayed in my lane, and, you know, kept going, just kept my eyes on the prize, basically. You know, it started in the MoMA, and it needs to go full circle to end in the MoMA, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man, so far, yeah.
That's awesome. You know? So were you a kid who you always knew that this is something you wanted to do, or something that just kind of came a little later?
Yeah. You know, when you are a kid from Haiti and you're basically, you know, taken away from your country and then, you know, placed in a new country, watching cartoons, basically, that's how I learned the language.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize I knew I had talent until later on, until probably the fourth grade, you know, because I would go in my room and just doodle. I remember going to school and, you know, we had art class and, you know, I drew what was in front of me. I remember my teacher was like, oh, wow, did you trace that? I didn't know what tracing meant. Hmm. I just saw it and I copied it and I drew it, you know? I would guess my big aha Oprah moment would be when we went to the museums for the first time, seeing these great masterpieces. And that's when I realized this is what I want to do for a living.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it too, because you mentioned cartoons specifically. That was very instrumental in even my own journey early on too. That was my world, was cartoons, right? That's how you learn all about, like, just so much stuff is you intake that way, and then it comes out in ways of you know, influence in your own art and stuff too. And I see that even in your vivid colors, and I'm sure that that's kind of has some root in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my my color palette is basically a lot of my Caribbean background. Mm. You know, I like to use very bright colors. And again, it's from, you know, being born in Haiti and grew up in Haiti a little bit. So those are, I like to use really bright colors, you know, and also I like to tell a good story. Yeah. You know, it was one of those things when the pandemic happened, I was in the studio and, you know, and especially being in New York City at the time, I was seeing nothing but death and nothing but like misery and nothing about like the COVID and people in masks and all this other stuff. And I just said to myself, I was like, you know, and all these artists were painting the same subject matter at the time too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of artists were painting stuff that was going on. Again, doctors with masks, people with masks,
yeah,
hospitals, you know, everything like that. And I just can't do this. You know, I need to smile. I think people need to smile and escape from reality just for a minute, you know? So at the time, the only thing that was open was Home Depot, you know, all the art stores were shut down.
Yeah.
I went to place an order for a canvas. There was like a 6-month waiting list, you know, for it. So the only thing that was open was Home Depot. So I would go to Home Depot and paint and grab these half inch Masonite boards and start painting on them, you know? And it was so weird. First piece I did, it was I just wanted to put a smile on my face, you know? So I just painted this really cool Snoopy character, and my iconic little sign is Place No Bills on it. And because I live in New York, and if you live in New York, you see that sign all over, because, yeah, you know, all the construction that's going on.
Yeah.
And again, it was just for myself. It literally was just for myself. It wasn't supposed to be a new series. It wasn't supposed to be anything. I painted it. I thought it was really super cool. You know, I was like, no one's going to buy this because it's silly and it's fun, but it's also on Masonite board, so it weighed a ton, you know? Yeah. So I posted it. And the next day, it just kind of just took off from there, you know? So, and then, you know, and then people were just like, wow, this is really great. Is it available? I was like, yeah. And I remember this lawyer reached out to me and was just like, hey, listen, I love this piece so much. I live in New Jersey. Can I send my driver to pick it up? I was just like, all right, sure, you know? And then that's when I realized that, you know what? People are looking for escape. They want something cool. They want to smile, you know? When I started painting, Remember Your Innocence series, right, throughout, you know, the whole COVID thing. So it's just basically taking vintage and classic cartoon characters and making them look old and vintage and, like, you know, street signs and everything like that. So, yeah.
Mm, I love that so much. That's so great. In all that stuff, having to pivot into doing some new things and trying some new things, I love that you found, you know, an audience for that. Even then, you said, you know, this is something I'm creating for myself. I think that oftentimes, right, when we return to that place where we're like, you know what, I'm doing this because it has significance for me, that can really resonate with other people. What advice would you have for, like, maybe other visual artists who are listening right now, who are struggling with thinking like, I need to do something different, but I'm not really sure how, I'm not really sure what to do in this time period that we're in right now, where things are still so upside down?
You know, that's a really, really good question. I'm glad that you asked. Thank you so much for asking that question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I think people need to understand too. First thing is, like, you know, I get emails and DMs and everything like that. And, you know, I'm also an avid art collector myself. You know, I have a philosophy where, you know, every time I sell a painting, I'll buy a painting. Art saved my life, you know, and I have I owe a debt that I don't think I could ever repay, but I also made a promise to myself that I will always try to support the arts as much as possible. So therefore, every time I buy a painting, every time I sell a painting, I'll buy a painting. So being an avid collector, and I'm getting DMs all the time, the emails and everything like that, I would say now is a time, this shutdown is now the time for you to clean house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, and what I mean by that, it's like, you know, go on your Instagram, clean up your Instagram. If you're going to pursue art full time, you know, you should have either two separate accounts, you know, meaning like your Instagram. If I'm a collector and I need to look at your art, I don't want to scroll 6-7 times just to see one of your paintings. You know what I mean? I think one of the biggest mistakes that artists do is this, like, you know, they call themselves, you know, they're an artist, but in order for me to look at their artwork, I literally have to take 6 or 7 scrolls up, you know, up on Instagram just seeing work, just clean up Instagram. I don't need to see, you know, pictures of your dog or your food or inspirational quotes, which is all fine and great. That's your personal account. But if you're going to make this a business, because, you know, it is a business, you know, art is a business, and then you're trying to build a brand. So I would say do that. And also too, I think that one another important thing that a lot of artists need to do realize is just paint, because half the time your audience isn't even born yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just keep painting, because your time will come. You know, I've been in it for 20 years, and I'm not some overnight success. You know, it took 20 years to demand what I'm demanding and everything like that. But it's just one of those things that you have to ask yourself, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and really ask yourself this question. It's like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because it's lots of sacrifice, you know, lots of dedication. You know, I sacrifice, you know, relationships with my family, relationships with amazing, incredible women, you know, because all I did just lived and breathed art, you know. And if you really, truly want to get to that point where you're in the MoMA or you're demanding, you know, 6 or 7 figures for your work, it takes a lot of work, you know, and you have to look at yourself as a CEO of a company, you know. And your paintings are your are stocks, you know? And then when a person buying one of your paintings, they're actually buying one of your stocks, you know? And as a stockholder, you want your clients to be happy. And how do you do that? You know, you keep adding value to your work, you mm-hmm. know? So you keep painting, you're making sure the right collectors are collecting your work. You're making sure that you're in the right corporate collections, you know? And now's the time to do it, you know? Because, you know, there's no more going out. There's no more partying. Stay home and clean house, you know, clean up your Instagram, update those websites, invest in a really good camera, take really good pictures, you know, and brand yourself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Oh man, so much gold in there. That was awesome. And I love also that you mentioned sacrifice, because I think too many times people think like, oh yeah, you know, just sit around and draw and paint all day and, you know, it's fine. And so much stuff will just kind of take care of itself, but it is work and it is a business. Like you said, if you want it to be other than a hobby, if it's a hobby, then that's fine. Then that's your deal and do what you got to do there. But if you want to make it a business, you got to treat it like that. You got to have business habits, not hobby habits. And so, like you said, just sacrificing, sometimes it's time, it's relationship stuff. It's, almost like being a little obsessive about it sometimes, I think, right? Because you have to be invested on that, in that level where you're like, I really want to see this happen. And I love that you expressed that so well. What has your journey looked like over the past 20 years as far as, you know, were there certain moments where you felt like, oh, this was a tipping point for me where, you know, I had an opportunity and it really opened some doors for me that help me level up? Or was it just this gradual kind of keep chipping away?
Yeah, there was no big break, and there's still no big break. You know, it's literally chipping away. You know, I was one of these artists that, you know, people didn't open doors for me. So I had to go through the back door, through the window, you know, but once I was in the room, my presence were known, you know. More great opportunities were, I would always donate a painting to major charity events, you know, and this is something that I want you listeners to be listen very, very carefully. All right. Donate some of your works to major charity events. All right. But the key thing is donate some of your best stuff to these charity events. One of the biggest mistakes I think a lot of artists do, they'll donate stuff, and it's stuff that's been sitting in the studio for 5, 6 years. It's mediocre. It's not some of their best stuff. And the reason why I tell people donate your best stuff, because you want bidding war. You know, you want people to get excited about the piece. You want the piece to bring so much attention to it. But not just that, though. When the people who lost the bid, they're going to reach out and be like, listen, I lost this bid, you know, by, you know, $1,000, $2,000, but I want to come by your studio and see what else you have available. You know, those were some of those big opportunities that that happened for me, because, you know, when I was donating pieces, I was donating some of my best stuff. And people are like, why are you doing that? But it worked out well, because there was such a huge bidding war. Every time I donating some of my stuff to some of these galas and some of these events and everything. And what I realized is that the people who lost the bid would always contact me. You know, hey, I lost this bid. Can I come by your studio? Oh my God, your work's amazing. Can I come by your studio? We just got outbid in the last second. So those were some of the opportunities. I think that's very, very important. That kind of helped me slowly get to that level, you know, because when you're in the room with some of these CEOs and some of these hedge fund guys and everything like that, and they see that people are bidding on this piece, you know, they're like, oh, we need to get one, you know? So that's how some of my big breaks happen.
Yeah. I love that. That's, you know, finding the people that you want to be around and with, where are they hanging out, right? And figuring out, how do you get in the same room with them? And that's one of those ways that you can do that. Are there any like tips that you'd be able to offer somebody as far as some practical things of how to do that? If they're thinking like, well, I don't necessarily feel like I have a lot of opportunity before me, but maybe if I can go out and seek some people who, you know, maybe they're looking for art, like you said, you know, for charity work and stuff. How does somebody go about doing that?
That's another good question, you know, because, you know, I used to always, you know, I would go out 5 days a week and make my rounds. You know what I mean? Forbes magazine is like my Bible, you know, and people laugh when I read that, you know, when I say that, and they're like, why? It's Forbes magazine. You're not in finance or anything like that. I was like, no, I'm an amazing painter. And, you know, and I know I'm a good painter, but, I need to know who actually has access, you know, who actually could afford my work, you know? So I would read like, you know, all these amazing, you know, hedge fund guys, CEOs, and I would read, and it would tell you basically where they like to hang out, what type of alcohol they like to drink, what type of cigars they like to smoke, you know? And I would go and hang out in these places and just work the room and talk to people, introduce myself, hand them my business cards, you know? Before COVID, you know, I would literally like when a piece got sold, I would install at a client's house who lived in this, you know, a luxury building, you know, and after I'm done installing the piece, I'll take a picture of it and everything like that. But and then when I left, I would go in the elevator, I would hit the penthouse and grab, you know, 500 business cards or flyers and just literally slide down every floor, you know what I mean? Because if you lived in this building, you had to make a certain, you know, you had to make a certain price point. So, you know, so it's just grinding. It's old school grinding. You know what I mean? And this is the stuff that, you know, I try to tell people, you know, because when people see me now, they're like, wow, dude, you know, you're getting, you know, six figures for your work. Oh my God. I'm like, yeah, dude, it took 20 years though. You know what I mean? Like I started off just selling, you know, a 48x60 painting for $2,000, you know? But you slowly, the right people start collecting my work, and then you slowly start building up, and then the demand got bigger and bigger and bigger. 20 years later, you know, I have like, you know, people reaching out to me and people are paying six figures for my work. But it's grinding. It really is a lot of grinding. I can sit here and tell you like all my tricks and trades and everything like that. But with COVID happening, you got to learn how to navigate now, you know, so I can't go out. And go to these trendy bars and these trendy restaurants. There's no more red carpets. There's no more galas, you know? So, and then people are like, how are you selling work right now? You know, the grinding never stops, Mike, no matter what happened.
Yeah.
The grinding never stops. You know, I'm a New Yorker. You know, I've been here since September 11th. I've been here since the blackout. I've been here since the financial market crashed with Bernie Madoff. I've been here when the housing market crashed, you know, the hurricanes, you know, a little pandemic, dude. That's it, bro. We got to get moving.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I know. Yep.
That's not that we're in New York, you know, we just have to power through it, you know?
Yep.
It's listen, at the end of the day, and I'm gonna quote Rocky. This is I remember watching there's a quote in Rocky that I live by. Life is hard. Life is not always gonna be sunshines and rainbows, you know what I mean? And life is always gonna knock you on your fucking ass. Sorry if I can't swear, but you know, but it's how fast you get back up, you know. And right now, even now, I'm still learning how to navigate all this stuff right now. Again, because I said there's no more, the city's pretty much shut down, so I can't go and network and make my rounds and
yeah,
and everything like that. So so now the way I'm navigating right now is basically, you know, just cleaning up my Instagram, taking really cool shots, you know, investing in myself. And that's one thing I always tell artists too, you know, if you want people to invest in you, you got to take the first step and start investing in yourself. You know, I hired an amazing publicist, Brianna. And you know, we sat down, we built this amazing relationship and everything like that. And now we're just trying to figure out how to navigate things right now. So you have to invest in yourself, especially if you're looking for other people to invest in you.
Yeah, totally. And you know, the thing is really in all that stuff, the thread is grit, right? You're showing up again and again and again. And I think, again, you know, that's not something that people really want to hear. They want to hear like, go and do this practical thing and then you'll be okay. Or go and, you know, follow the same path as somebody else. But really, like, even if somebody tried to follow your exact steps, there's nothing saying that they're going to be able to have the same results as you because they're not you.
There's no guarantee in life. You know what I mean? Like everything I do with my career, I always roll the dice. You know, there's no guarantee. And again, it's sacrifice. You know, I'm 43 years old and I don't have any children. And that's by choice because I know sometimes I'm going to have to spend $5,000-$10,000 on a project. And believe it or not, $5,000-$10,000 is a lot of money, especially if you have a kid, you know. But like, if I invest this money in a project, two things could happen. You know, I could take a hit, you know. And like, all right, I took a hit, you know, all right, I guess I'm eating peanut butter jelly sandwiches for the next 2 weeks, you know, but it's okay. I rolled the dice, or I could just take off. And then that $10,000 or $15,000 investment becomes, you know, $100,000 investment because I'm getting all this sales coming in, you know? So you have to roll that dice. You have to show up and you have to do the work. You know, because I think too many artists have this romantic notion how they're going supposed to get discovered. And that just doesn't exist anymore because especially galleries in New York City, the rents are so high. It's a business. You know, if you are not making a gallery any money, they don't have time for you right now. You could be painting the next Mona Lisa. At the end of the day, it's just like, it's like the record label, you know. It's hard to get signed by. It's hard to get signed with new artists right now because the music industry is involved so much, you know, with streaming and everything like that. So that's why a lot of these record labels are just concentrating on the sure thing, you know. So you gotta make yourself the sure thing, and that's pretty much what I've been doing. I made sure I let people know that if you don't buy my work now, you know, you're gonna have to pay for a lot more later because I'm definitely for that. You know, I'm like a Tesla stock. I just keep going up and up.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. I love it. How has your work evolved over the years?
So my work has evolved throughout the years. You know, I went from being an abstract painter and I'm painting my Untitled series for about 10 to 13 years. And those series were a big hit. You know, those are some of the series that got me into a lot of corporate collections and everything. And then, but as an artist, you have to evolve and grow, you know? So from there, I shifted over to like my game board series where I was taking classical board games and making them look vintage and old and adding sculptures, you know, some sculptures to them and everything like that. And then I painted those for a few years. And then from there, I started my No Comment series, which was, that's a very interesting series. I'll get back into that. And then from there, I started my Come Fly With Me, you know, painting those for a couple of years. And then, you know, now I'm doing these really fun art for the people, I like to call it. You know, my little revolution paintings are really, really cool. My work is always evolving. It's always evolving.
I love that you're pushing the boundaries on stuff and you don't get stuck in a stagnant pattern. And I think also, you know, you mentioned before about like, you know, gallery work.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes artists may fear that if you get in with a gallery, they're going to want the same thing over and over again. Right.
It's again, it's rolling the dice. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've been very lucky that I'm with an amazing gallery, Cavalier Gallery in New York City, where they let me just express myself and let me do what I do, you know?
Yep.
So I'm very lucky for that. Then, but then I have friends who are with a gallery and, you know, and the works just keep selling, but they're over it, you know, they're over it. But, you know, they have responsibilities and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and people are like, I don't know. Yeah, the works just keep selling. I'm like, but if you're over it, dude, just, you're over it. It's okay. Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta roll that dice and just go for it, you know?
Yeah, totally. So what's your latest series that you're working on right now?
So there's a couple of series that I'm working on right now, you know, cause I have two pieces up right now, in Harlem, at the Kent Royal Gallery. And it's my No Comment series, you know, and my No Comment series is a very interesting series right now because I painted those paintings 10 years ago. All right, Mike, 10 years ago, there were portraits of women who had high profile jobs, but didn't feel like they were going to get ahead because they weren't part of that boys club. You know, they weren't feeling part of like getting paid as like their counterpartners, their male counterpartners, you know? Mm-hmm. And we knew about this that was going on for a long time. We just didn't talk about it, you know? So throughout the years, I was meeting these incredible women who are doctors, lawyers, judges, writers. I have there's this one woman in the series where she's this amazing, amazing author, and she writes sci-fi stuff, but, you know, she wouldn't get published if she wasn't, you know, if she didn't have a pseudonym that was a man, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm meeting all these incredible women and everything like that. So I paint these portraits, I put duct tape on their mouth, you know, and I call it No Comment, you know, and I think these are the works. These are probably some of my most important works to date, but now mind you, I painted them 10 years ago. Okay. I shopped them around. I showed them to some of the galleries I was working with at the time. I showed them to some of my collectors. I showed them to some museum people, and nobody wanted to touch them. They thought they were too controversial. They thought they were too obscene. They were just like, oh, we don't want to talk about this subject matter or anything like that. So, you know, so as an artist, you have two options. You have option one is to paint over the canvas because you don't want to waste canvas and just start something new. Or option two, my second option was just basically wrap them up, throw them in storage and just let them be, you know, because I thought they were really beautiful, but I got it out of my system, you know? So fast forward 10 years later, the Me Too movement happened. And then next thing you know, the same people, the same museum, same galleries that said no about these paintings were like, hey, by the way, do you have these No Comment series again and blah, blah, blah. They're so important right now. You know, so what I'm trying to say is timing right now. Timing, it's all about timing sometimes too. You know, 10 years ago, nobody wanted to talk about the subject matter at all. But now it's so important and what's going on where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, I think too many times we get stuck in our own heads and we think like, you know, it's got to happen a certain way. It's got to happen in a certain time frame, or you know, with these certain people. And to really hold loosely to certain things that we don't have control over, and yet maintain the sense of like direction and purpose and grit that we talked about before, and be open to those possibilities, right? Because you never know what may happen, when it may happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but again, it's literally about just making sure that I think deep down, you really need to ask yourself if this is a career that you truly want to have, you know, because you're going to make a lot of sacrifices, you know, and being an artist is something that I wouldn't recommend to my worst enemy. You know what I mean? Because you have blinders on, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're constantly just grinding and making art and, you know, and trying to navigate through things and keep trying to climb that ladder every day, you know, and people always ask me, do you paint every day? I'm like, no, but I'm in my studio every day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's been times where I'll just be in my studio for 8 hours, just cleaning my studio, you know, or there's just times where I'm just in the, you know, in my studio, hanging on my couch and I see something in the corner of my eye, oh, time to go to work, you know, and something catches you, you know? So you got, but you have to put in the hour, you have to put in the work.
Yeah. Yeah. What's been most surprising about your journey so far, do you think?
I would say a couple of things. A, that people who are now just collecting my work are saying, wow, we haven't heard about you. You know, did you just pop up? I'm like, no, I've been doing this for 20 years, you know? But I would say the most, you know, interesting about the journey is just like, you know, dreaming about chasing your dreams was so much funner than actually living it. You know what I mean? Because when you dreamt about it, you know, you and your friends, you know, you guys were super broke. You went to a little dive bar. We were talking about, oh, dude, when we blow up, I'm going to buy that huge loft. I'm going to buy a Porsche. My shit's going to be hanging in a fucking Whitney, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? You're having that innocence, all right? And then you're living it. You're like, wow, this is work, dude. You know what I mean? This is work. I have to, like, all right, I have all these people, you know, investing, like, you know, six figures in my work. It's like, but you can't let them down, you know, because they're, you know, you're stock. You know what I mean? So you have to, like, you know, you have to crank out the work. You have to, like, keep adding value to the work. Yeah, and making sure the right collectors are collecting my work, you know. But one thing, you know, I think a lot of my collectors love about me and about my work is the fact that, like, no matter how big or successful I get, they know that I touch the work. You know, I'm not like some of these artists who have, like, 81 assistants or have a factory and they're just banging shit out because the demand's so high, you know. Right now there's a waiting list for my work right now. And you get it when you get it, dude. You know what I mean? Cause I'm not going to hire, you know, a bunch of, you know, assistants to bang out my work for me. That's just not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I guess every level has its different challenges and joys that you go through. And I guess it goes back to what you were saying before, as far as being adaptable, being flexible in the moments and figuring out how to just keep moving forward. Yeah. And I'm sure that in and amongst all that stuff too, is navigating some of the business things, but also figuring out how do you keep your integrity intact? How do you keep your artistic vision intact?
Right.
So that you continue to grow as a person and as an artist and that it's worth something, so to speak, because you're putting yourself into your work still. It's not just becoming routine, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And also too, it's really important to pay it forward too. You know what I mean? Throughout the pandemic, you know, I just got off, you know, before the shutdown and before COVID happened, you know, I just got off this crazy, super successful show at my gallery. We had a sold out show. Things were, you know, went amazing. Like 500 people showed up. It was this big hoo-ha. I was on this high for like 2 days, you know, and I wanted to go and do something amazing for myself and buy this amazing watch, you know, and spent $15,000 on this watch and everything like that. And after going to the Rolex store and trying it on, it was like, all right, this is the watch. Because to me, that watch symbolized that I made it. I have arrived. Mm-hmm. I have a seat at the table now. I'm one of you guys, you know? And that's what that watch symbolized for me at that time, you know? And then, you know, and then COVID hit, and then all my friends were calling who were panicking and who were artists. And, you know, then, you know, our battle got canceled, the galleries were shutting down. So everyone's shows were starting to get, you know, shut down. And I remember getting a phone call from my buddy who just had a baby girl, had this beautiful baby girl. And he was just like, listen, you know, my restaurant just got shut down. I'm freaking out right now. And I was just like, hey, man, listen, don't worry about this. I'm coming over. I went to his place and I was like, show me what you have in your studio. And I ended up buying a painting, you know. So I go home. You know, I hang the painting, and there was this voice in my head that just kept saying, all right, dude, now's not the time for you to go and splurge on this watch. You know what I mean? And then the next morning, I'm in my studio, starting my day and everything, and this voice just kept talking. You know, it was like, dude, you got to help. You got impacted so much of what's going on. You know, so I just made a conscious decision to go on my Instagram, and it was just like, hey, you know, my name is Guy Stanley Feloge. I'm a New York artist. New York's been really good to me the past few years. I'm looking to buy as much art as possible. And then, Mike, that's when my world just went, whoosh, I've been buying art, trying to help out my community ever since, you know. So and all it takes is just people DM me, and if I like what I see, cool, you know. But I don't need the sad stories, you know. Yeah. That's like an album. Mm. You know, I don't need sad stories. You know, life is hard, and I get it and everything like that. I just want to go and straight to the point. Hey, man, here's my link to my website. Tell me what you think. That's it. Mm.
Yeah. I love that it's leading by serving and giving, and that never returns void, you know, that always comes back and pays for itself even over, because you're leading the way. I think you're modeling even for the artist community of like what that should look like, not competition, but rather community. It's community.
Yeah, it is. You know, and there's no more bigger competition in the art world. You know what I mean? Because everyone's fighting for that same fucking wall space. You know, everyone's fighting for that same collector. Everyone's fighting for that same curator. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think with me, and the way I navigated my career was like, I took control of my own destiny. You know what I mean? I didn't need someone to vouch for me and give me that stamp of approval. You know, I had the confidence and the work was strong enough. It spoke for itself, you know? Yeah. And the competition is so intense in the art world. And I was just like, guys, there's no need for it. You know, there's enough for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. One of my famous art friends called me the other day and was like, guy, listen, you're getting a lot of attention right now and it's cool, but you know, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Why are you sharing your collector base with all these random artists? Aren't you worried that your collectors will stop collecting your work? And I was like, first of all, if a collector only collected my work, they're not a collector. Because a true collector collects everyone's work, you know? And I'm like, dude, there's enough for everybody. You know, and he was just saying, I would never do that. And I was like, I know, we've been friends for 10 years. You've never introduced me to any of your collectors. And I respect that. And I get it, you know, but that's not my MO. That's not the way I roll. And I think there is enough for everyone. I'm all about sharing the love, man.
Yeah. Share the love. Love it. Love it. Well, we're at the top of our time here, but real quick before we go, where can people find you? How can they follow your work and find out a little bit more about you?
Yeah. So if you're a collector and you want to see some of my work, you could log on. You could reach Cavalier Gallery in New York City. It's 3 West 57th Street in New York City. They also have a gallery in Greenwich and Palm Springs and on Nantucket. Or you can just hit me up on Instagram. It's my full name, Guy Sanfilippo. And yeah, say what's up.
I'll make sure I put that in the show notes so it's easy for people to find you.
All right, sounds good, man.
Well, thank you so much for this time today. I know this has been an amazing conversation that people are going to find a lot of wisdom and are going to need to go back and listen again because they're going to be like, oh, I need to write some notes. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, man, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.